Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. God bless you. Amen. You're looking fairly well today. It's good to be here with you today. I've thought a lot about the message that I wanted to bring today, and really what I want to do this morning is just talk to you. And I want to begin by, first of all, thanking everybody for their outpouring of love, prayers, concern, cards, visits, calls, just about everything that you can think of. I just want to thank you for all of your concern for me in this past month. It is a blessing to be a part of a congregation this caring and this loving, and I want to thank you all for that. It's been a tremendous encouragement to me and my wife. And of course, I want to praise God. We have a wonderful God, and don't always understand exactly why he does something the way he does it, but it's great to have a great God, and I want to praise him and I want to thank him. Now, if you're visiting this morning, you probably have no idea what in the world I'm talking about. This past month, I suffered I really didn't feel like I was suffering. I didn't feel anything, but I had one Wednesday night out in the foyer, I had sudden cardiac arrest, and my heart just stopped. And medically, I died. Fortunately, God had everything orchestrated. Obviously, he didn't want to take me at that time, because if he had wanted to, certainly he could have very easily. But he had Pastor Randy, my good friend. He's really my good friend now. He had Pastor Randy right by my side, who knew exactly what to do, and he did it very efficiently. Thankfully, because of the wisdom and foresight of our church leadership some years ago, we have a defibrillator hanging on the back wall right there, which was just a few seconds away, and that was quickly employed. And we have a very efficient emergency medical team just down the road at the fire station in West Richland. They arrived within about 5 minutes, and God chose to let me live. And I am thankful for that. And I know that there must be a purpose in that. I know there must be a reason in that. Like I say, he easily could have taken me at that time. And but he didn't. He left me here. And I assume that at least one of the reasons he left me here was so that I could keep on working on you. I think that he has something left for me here, and I am glad for that. This year is my 50th year in the ministry. 39 of those years have been spent with this congregation. And I am thankful for that. That has been a tremendous blessing. This church has been a tremendous blessing to myself and my wife over the years. We are thankful to have been in this ministry and to be associated with you folks in this congregation for so long. One thing that I have learned in the past few years, and I can't help but think that this is the direction that God is leading me this morning, just to talk from my heart with you folks. In the past 3 years, less than 3 years, three events have happened in my family. And they've all been sudden and unexpected and potentially lethal. You will remember in May of 2015, my son suffered a sudden and unexpected aortic aneurysm. He had a tear in his aorta, and not only did he have a tear in his aorta was dissecting. When they finally got him into surgery, they found out that they could not repair his aorta. They had to actually replace most of his ascending aorta out of his heart. I understand from what they told me that the chances of survival of that are generally less than 5%. And God spared my son. Then, less than 2 years ago, you all know that my wife had a pretty serious automobile accident right out here at the intersection of Keene and Kennedy on the way to church on Father's Day in 2016. And she was taken to the hospital with severe injuries, some that could have been life-threatening. That was very sudden and unexpected. And then, of course, what happened on this past month in my life was very sudden and unexpected. You know, I've had heart issues for the past 12 years. I think most of you know that. I have a heart disease. That heart disease is degenerative. It is not curable. And the day is going to come that it will take me. That's okay with me. I'm not telling you that to make you feel sorry for me. In fact, I do not want you to feel sorry for me. It is in God's will, designed for my life, and I am perfectly okay with it. But what happened on this past month was completely sudden and unexpected. There was no warning signs. I wasn't feeling bad. I wasn't having any chest pains. Nothing was going on. I was just getting ready to go home, ready to walk out the door, and that's the last thing I remember. In fact, I don't even remember that very well. It was sudden and unexpected. And what I want to impress upon your heart today, dear people, is the need to be ready, to be prepared. You see, when something sudden and unexpected takes place, there is no time to prepare. You are either ready or you're not. If you're not ready, it's going to be too late to get ready. There will be no opportunity to get ready. God could have taken me very easily, as I said that night. Pastor Randy's efforts on me may have been to no avail. There comes a time when even a defibrillator will not make a difference. By the way, I'm carrying around my own now. So if you see me go... I have been defibrillated. But listen, I'm speaking to you as a pastor, as a Christian, as a Bible believer, from my heart. And I want you to know that no matter what your age is this morning, whether you're young, in between, or old, you need to be ready. Now, I want to read a portion of Scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, And it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. I am sure that most of you here are very familiar with it. The Apostle Paul, as he writes this portion of Scripture, is in prison in Rome. He's about 68 years old. God has revealed to him that he is not going to be able to leave prison alive. He is going to soon offer up his life as a martyr for Jesus Christ. He's going to die. Paul writes this epistle to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, to give him last exhortations, to remind him of his responsibilities, to exhort him to press on and to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his life and ministries. And as he comes down to the last chapter, he says this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and please begin with verse 6 with me. He says, "For I am now ready." I am now ready, he says. I'm prepared. I'm in a state of readiness. He doesn't say, "I've got to get ready." He doesn't say, "Timothy, pray for me so that I can be ready." He says, "I'm ready. I'm prepared. There's nothing more that I need to do." That's a good feeling, isn't it? Amen. He says, "I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And once again, he's not talking about an escape. He's talking about going to be with the Lord. He says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He says, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'll tell you, dear people, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going home. And he says, "I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There are three things that I want to point out concerning readiness, being prepared. Paul was prepared. He was ready. He didn't have to get ready. He had spent his Christian life doing that. You see, the first thing I want you to see here is this, that Paul was saved. Now, I want you to know right now, and I say it lovingly and kindly, if you are not saved, if you are not saved, you are not ready. In fact, you are the most unprepared person you could possibly be. The Apostle Paul was saved. Turn with me to 1 Timothy in chapter 1 very quickly. Just go to the left in your Bibles. Back a book to 1 Timothy. And notice in chapter 1, verse 15 with me, please. Notice what Paul says. In verse 15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Now, look at this very carefully, please. He says, "Christ Jesus came into the world." Now, here's the purpose. He says, "Christ Jesus came into the world. He came from heaven's glories. He put on a body, lived a sinless life, was a spotless, blameless Lamb of God." And Paul says, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." To save sinners. We are all sinners. We are all transgressors of God's law. You have heard me say many times over the years that you and I can't even keep the first two great commandments. Jesus epitomized the whole law when he said the first four commandments have to do with loving God. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your whole being," with your heart, your soul, your mind, your whole being. Love the Lord thy God with your whole being. And there isn't any of us who can do that. And then the last six commandments have to do with loving people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we can't do that either. In fact, we have a hard time getting along with our neighbor most of the time. And so you and I can't even keep spotlessly the two great commandments. So we are transgressors. We are transgressors. We are sinners. To sin means to break the law of God, to transgress against God. The greatest offense in sin is against God. It's against God. We have offended him. He is a holy and righteous God, and we have offended him. And because of that, we are separated from him in that sin. Now, this cross that stands against our back wall here teaches us a lot of things. It is an emblem. It is a symbol. It represents the cross of Jesus Christ. And as we stop and think about that cross, the cross tells us many things. The first thing that tells us is that we are sinners. It is our sin that brought Christ from heaven. Is it our sin that brought him down to earth? It is our sin that took him to that cross. That cross tells us that God is serious about sin. Now, you and I tend not to take sin very seriously. We like to think of ourselves as being better than we really are. I'm not such a bad person. Well, we're sinners. We are transgressors of God's law. We have offended him. We are in rebellion against him. And that sin brought Christ from heaven, God's only Son. It brought him from heaven, and it nailed him to that cross. Now, it tells us that God takes sin very seriously. If he would send his Son to die for our sins, can't you believe that God takes sin very seriously? He does not take sin lightly. You say, would God send someone like me to hell? Yes, he would. If you die in your sin, if you die separated from God, if you die in rebellion against God, if you die rejecting, refusing God's wonderful and gracious gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, you will certainly perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. That means that if you don't believe in him, you're going to perish. He that believeth is not condemned, the Bible says. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So sin is very serious, dear people. It's very serious. And unless you're forgiven of that sin, unless you're forgiven of that sin, unless you're pardoned of that sin, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he came and died on that cross. He paid for our sin. He satisfied the righteous justice of God on that cross for you and me. He was our substitute on that cross. God laid all of our sin. Isaiah says that he hath laid our iniquity upon him, all of our iniquity upon him. The Bible says that he hath made him to be sin for us, so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, sin is a very serious thing. And if you die in your sin, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. Make no mistake about that. It really doesn't make any difference if you believe it or not. God is not going to put out hell. God is not going to extinguish hell because you don't believe. God's gracious gift, God's gracious love. You see, that cross also tells us that God loves us. It tells us that God loves us. In fact, God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. Now listen, dear people, here's the simple thing. If you're not saved, if you haven't come to that cross, if you haven't come to Christ, if you haven't cast yourself upon him as a sinner, oh, God, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I've transgressed your laws. I've not had a pure mind. I've not had a pure heart. I've not had spotless behavior. I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And the only Savior that God has provided is Jesus Christ. That's God's only plan of salvation. You say, well, that's very narrow. Yes, it is narrow. That's what Jesus said. He said, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to life. On the one hand, God is very exclusive. You only come by the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. On the other hand, God is very inclusive. He says, whosoever will may come. Will you come? Will you come? Now, I would like to look out upon this group this morning, and I would like to hope and pray that everybody in here has come to Jesus Christ. But maybe you only have religion. Maybe you only have churchianity. Maybe church on Sunday is about as far as it goes for you. Maybe you've never really come to Christ as a sinner and cast yourself upon Him and said, oh God, save me. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never trusted Him as your personal Savior. And if you haven't, then that's the first thing you need to do to be prepared. Because I tell you, if you haven't, now listen to me, I tell you, if you haven't, you're not prepared. And if you were to go out of this place today and something would befall you and you'd go out into eternity, you'd go out into a Christless eternity. Jesus told the people, he said, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And where I am, you cannot come. Now take that seriously. I'm not trying to demean you. I'm not trying to put anybody down this morning. I'm speaking from my heart. I'm trying to get you saved. I'm trying to get you to heaven. I'm trying to get you forgiven. I'm trying to get you so that you can stand before a God that is so holy and so righteous that you and I can't even imagine it. We can't even begin to imagine standing before God. And what in the world, what in heaven's name are you going to do if you stand before that God unforgiven? What are you going to do? What plan do you have? What plea do you have? What are you going to be able to say to him? If he looks at you and he says, what have you done with my son? What are you going to do? I beg you, don't be hard-hearted. Don't harden your heart against God. Don't harden your heart against God. You're not that tough. Don't harden your heart against God. Now, the second thing that Paul did to make himself ready was simply he lived for the Lord. Notice back at our scripture in 2 Timothy. He says, I'm ready. He says in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, if you profess to be saved, if you profess to know Christ as your Savior, then you ought to be living for the Lord. Amen? You see, if Christ comes into your life, then your life is going to change. It's going to change. Now, it's not going to become perfect, but it's going to change. And you're going to be growing in Christ. You're going to be growing in the things of God. And you're going to, God's going to take out that heart of stone, and he's going to put in a heart of flesh, and he's going to put in a heart for God, and you're going to find yourself having a new interest and desire and affection for God and for the things of God. And yes, you can still sin, and yes, you will still stumble, and yes, you will still fall, and God will work in your heart. He will convict you of that, and he will work with you as his child. You see, once you're saved, God always works with you as his child. You are now a child of God, and so God will work with you as a parent. He will work with you as a father. And he, if you start getting off of the right track, he's going to convict you in your conscience and in your heart. He's going to do things in your life to straighten you out, just like a good father would down here. How many of you parents have taken time to work with your children and correct them and discipline them and do things like that when they start getting off of the beaten track? Well, God our Father does the same thing. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that God chastens, he corrects every son whom he receiveth. And that's a part of our Christian life. And so God will work with you and you will grow in Christ. If you start getting too far off the track, then you're going to know that. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your close walk with the Lord. And you're going to know that. You're going to know it. There's been times in my life when I've got backslidden, and the Lord, I've known every minute of it. But now listen, maybe you're here and you're professing Christ as your Savior, and maybe you're getting way off the track. You're getting way off the track. I don't know, and I don't. I just want you to know this, dear people, that, listen to me carefully now, if in your life you are really, really getting into some deep sin and unworldliness, ungodliness, and I want you to know that today it is very easy to get caught up in ungodliness and worldliness and sin. I didn't say you were going to like this message. But I've been a pastor for a long time. I've had to deal with myself as well as a lot of other people over these 50-some years. And if you're in the world, if you're in immorality, if you're into pornography, and your mind is getting filled with the garbage of the world, if you're into immorality, if you're into dishonesty, if your heart is really out there, if that's where your heart really is, if the pleasures and the sins and the ungodliness and the wickedness of this world is where your heart really is, if that's where it really is, then you better think twice about your salvation. God is not mocked. He says, for whatsoever a man shall sow, that shall he also reap. You say, well, I made a profession of faith, I'm okay. No, not if you're habitually practicing sin, you're not okay. Don't fool yourself. Oh, you can repent and you should repent. And the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And as much as you may really disdain right at this particular moment what I'm saying and what I'm doing, it may be the goodness of God that has brought you here to hear this today. Because don't fool yourself, because God's not fooled. If you really don't have any interest in the things of God, if just coming to church on Sunday morning, you can hardly wait for that to get over. If that's the depth of your Christianity, you may not have Christianity. And God has brought you here this morning to hear this old preacher And I'm not yelling at you. I'm not screeching at you. I'm just talking to you from my heart. If you go out into eternity separated from God in your sin, you will surely be lost forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We live in a wicked and ungodly world. It's filled with turmoil. There is no peace in this world apart from Christ. There is no hope in this world apart from Christ. This world has nothing to offer except the pleasures of sin for a season. And then it will forever and ever and ever be over. And we will either be with Christ or we will be in hell. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You see, Paul looked forward to a time when he would stand before Christ. Look at verse 8 with me. He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge," do you see that? Judge, "the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." In Romans, the 14th chapter, Paul writes this. Romans chapter 14, and I want to begin with verse 10. He says, "Why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught thy brother? Why are you concerned about what's going on in your brother's life so much?" He says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God.'" And he says, "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Paul lived his life in light of that. He knew that the day was going to come when he would have to stand before the Lord. You shall and I shall. There's no way to escape that. There's no way to escape that. You're going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to stand before the Lord. Nobody's going to stand there with you. And we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. If you profess to be a Christian, then you ought to be living your life in such a way so that when you stand before Jesus Christ and God the Father has committed all judgment to him, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you will have no regrets, or you will have few regrets. And you certainly don't want to try and stand before Jesus Christ in your own righteousness. You want to stand there with your sins covered by his blood, forgiven, the penalty taken care of. You see, Jesus died to pay the penalty. And when you accept him as your Savior, you are no longer under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. The condemnation has been lifted. The penalty has been paid. You can stand there in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but you're still going to have to give an account for the things that you have done or not done in the body. And God will deal with you justly according to that. But thank God the penalty will have been paid. That is if you're saved. If you have accepted Him as your Savior. So Paul lived his life in the light of that judgment seat. And dear people, listen, if you want to be prepared, live your life in the light of the judgment seat. Live your life with the end in mind. Live your life with eternity in mind. Live your life for Christ. Don't live your life in indifference. Don't live your life selfishly. Don't live it to the pleasures of the flesh. There's a lot of wonderful, enjoyable things that you and I can partake of as Christians without having to get into the ungodly and wicked things of the world in the flesh. God has given us a wonderful world, as it were, to enjoy. And we enjoy it a lot more if there's no sin involved in it. So folks, listen, are you prepared? That's my heart's message to you this morning. Are you ready? If you were to walk out of here today and your heart would suddenly stop, say, well, I don't think that's going to happen. I didn't either. If you were to walk out of here today and get in a car accident, you say, well, I'm a pretty good driver. I don't think that's going to happen. My wife didn't either. If you're going to walk out of here today and say, well, you know what, I'm in good health. I don't have any heart condition. I don't have cancer. I don't have any of these things yet. Are you ready? Are you prepared? The time will come when it'll be too late. Time will come and it'll be too late. So my heart's message to you this morning is simply this. Will you please, 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 if you're not ready, if you're saved, if you're living for the Lord, praise God, I'm glad for that. And I hope that that's true. But if it's not, if you've never come to Christ, I'm not talking about the church. The church can't save anybody. The waters of baptism can't save anybody. Your good personality can't save you. Your education, your sophistication. None of those things save. There is one who saves. The scripture says this, neither is there salvation in any other. Now listen carefully. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other name. There's no other system. Jesus Christ is the Savior. As Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why He came. Sinners must be saved. You can't go to heaven otherwise. and he is the only Savior. Have you come to him? Would you please, please, please give that serious thought? And if Pastor Randy or Pastor Caleb or myself or some other good Christian can help you with that, please, please, please let us know. Call us up on the phone. We'll come to your house. Speak to us after the service. We'll get together with you. We will help you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can stay after the service this morning, and we will help you. Say, Pastor, I don't think I've ever received Jesus Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior. I don't think I've ever done that. Well, why not make sure today? What better place to do it? This is friendly territory. Nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to make fun of you. We're going to be glad for you. And listen, if you're a professing Christian and your life isn't what it should be, you really need to do some serious work with God. Yeah. You really need to get before God. Confess your sins. Forsake them. The scripture said, whosoever covers their sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses them and forsakes them shall have mercy. So folks, this is this old preacher who God has given a little bit more time, pleading with you. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. Let's stand together, shall we? Father in heaven, we close this service this morning, praising you and thanking you as the great God of heaven. Lord, you are so merciful and so kind and so good. You have given us life. In you we live and move and have our being. You have given us all things that pertain to life. You have given us all things, Father, that we need in life. You have blessed us in so many ways, and yet our heart can be so hard against you. Soften us up a bit today, I pray, God. If there's anybody here today who's not saved, oh, Father, I pray that you'd save them. Save them, Lord. Save them. If there are those today, Father, who profess to know you, but they've gotten away into the world and into sin and unto ungodliness and world, all the rest of it, Father, please speak to their hearts. Bring them back. Bring them back, Father. Help us to love you and to serve you. Help us to be thankful for your grace and your mercies. Help us to be ready. Help us to be prepared. And I would thank you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed.